open to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 16. 2 Timothy 3 from verse 16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. Amen. What this means is that when the word of God comes to you, it will affect every area of your life. It says for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God, that the child of God, that the believer in God will be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. I want to share something with you, which is the concluding part of our series on following God's plan for your life. Today, I want to share what I've titled Manifest. And the subtopic, I called it Burdens, Bettings, and Destiny. Tell me, burdens, bettings, and destiny. You see, let me say this in passing. When we have services, the point of a service is not to give a good speech. The point of a service is not, let's just go and hear what that young man has to say again. Every service ought to be like a building block in your life. And it's a huge responsibility that I don't take lightly. Are you with me? I believe that God prepared me for this. I got born again August 2005. I did not say I started going to church August 2005. I mean, that was when I received the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues and began to hear God. And so, that's some of the things I'll be sharing with you that maybe I've been meditating on them for about 10 years, some 15 years. Please, I want to beg you. If I can kneel, then I will kneel and beg you. Take what I'm sharing with you serious. Tell your neighbor, take it serious. There were teachings I did about 10 years ago that, as at last week, people still called me about them. Take them serious, especially things like this. So, what does it mean to manifest? What does it mean to manifest? Number one, to manifest is to fulfill to the fullest the assignment God committed to your life. Can you say after me, manifest? To manifest is to fulfill to the fullest the assignment God committed to your life. To completely fulfill the reason for which you were sent. Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy 4 verse 7, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Are you with me? He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. How many people on their dying bed can say, I finished? Let me say that again. How many people on the day that they are about to take their last breath can say, I finished? Some people, do they even know what they are supposed to be doing to even know if they started or they finished? This is serious. Are you with me? It's serious. How many people can say they finished? So number one, to manifest is what? To fulfill to the fullest the assignment God committed to your life, right? And the Bible gives us examples of people who did not manifest, neither did they even fulfill the plan. Some did not even start. And what I mean by that is we never got to see what their life could have turned out to be. For instance, Saul and Jonathan. So Jonathan was the son of King Saul. And when David came on board, the Bible says that when Jonathan saw him, his soul cleaved to him. And Jonathan said to David, I know you will be king, and I will be second after you. He knew. Are you with me? And then he also knew when Saul, his father, began to go after David, to kill David. And at some point, David had to run. And David ran to the cave of Adullam. And Jonathan knew. Now, only God knows how Jonathan knew in the spirit
that David would be king. And Jonathan had to choose between what was familiar and between destiny. Obviously, it's a hard choice. Choose between your father and your future. Some of you, you need to choose, though. It's tough, but some of you, you need to choose. Are you with me? You have come to the point in your life where God has started talking to you. And you know, this is what God is saying. Now, I'm not telling you to be rebellious. But you can learn how to humbly receive permission for your destiny. Okay, let me move forward. We never saw what Jonathan... Let's assume David became king and Jonathan was after him. What could have become of two of them? We don't know. We don't know. Okay, it's like this story is not popular. Do you know about Samson? Who knows Samson? That one should be more popular, right? What if Samson never fell for Delilah? And Samson ruled and judged Israel until he was fully grown. What could have happened? We don't know. There are just some people who, with the way their life went, you couldn't have known what would have become of them if they truly manifested their destiny. Are you with me? Ah, Holy Spirit. You get it in Jesus' name. Number two, to manifest is to complete your divine task in such a way that it quenches all doubts or arguments about whether or not you fulfill it. Let me say it again. To manifest is to complete your divine assignment in such a way that it quenches all doubts or arguments about whether you fulfilled it or not. In such a way that it quenches all doubts or arguments about whether you fulfilled it or not. Look at 1 Samuel 3, verse 19 to 20. The Bible says, "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground." They knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. They knew. When they saw it, they knew. Are you with me? See, let me tell you something. When somebody is manifesting it, you look at the person, you know that this one has reached manifestations. You cannot hide. You cannot pretend not to know. Are you with me? God, the eyes of your children are open to understand in the name of Jesus. They are open to see in the name of Jesus. They are open to get it in the name of Jesus. It says all Israel knew that God had established Samuel to be a prophet. Everybody knew that this guy, forget about him, this one, God has set him up. There is a way you see a man's life going, you know that, from here, God has taken over. You know, when the magicians were contending with Moses, Moses will drop a rod. It will turn to a serpent. The magicians will drop their own rod. It will turn to a serpent. So they will look at Moses and say, "We are mates." Moses will turn water to blood. They will turn water to blood. They're like, "We are mates." Moses will do something, they will do it. And I want to ask a question. Did God not know? So why was God starting with the very tricks he knew that the magicians already had? He wanted them to think that they were on the same level. Are you with me? He wanted them to think that they were on the same level. Many times, in destiny is like that. Sometimes you can be in class. Maybe SS1, GS2, 100 level, 200 level. And you can see your classmates and you can be tempted to think you are all the same. Are you with me? You can begin to think you are all the same. But as time begins to unfold and God begins to push his people to reveal what is inside, you will now discover that 20 children do not play together for 20 years. See, what I want to share with you, what I'm sharing with you today, God, please, they get it in Jesus' name. And then Moses did one more sign and they said, Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. By the time Moses began to call frogs, lice, hailstone from heaven, if you are that magician, how will you do it? Just imagine somebody came, pointed a rod to the sky and stones began to fall. Which sky will you do your own? Which other sky will you use? Praise the Lord. John 5, verse 35 says, he was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. He was a burning and a shining light. Talking about John here, John the Baptist. He was a burning and a shining light, meaning he was in his season of manifestation. Amen. And they were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Let me tell you something. Even if you don't understand what I'm saying here, there is something within us that likes to see people succeed. I am telling you, except it is envy or jealousy or what in local parlance they call bad belly. You like to see it. When you see somebody emerge from nothing, just come out and begin to do great things, you are like, ah, God, if this person can arise, then I can also arise. Are you with me? There is something within us. Let me ask you a question. Who remembers the last elections? I'm not a politician. I have no party. Praise the Lord. But how many of you were angry when the Labour Party candidate did not win? Do you know what it signified? It was more than just elections. Let me tell you, it was more than just elections. When you see somebody who was not popular, who was not among the names you are used to, are you with me? He was not an Olusegun Obasanjo. He was not an Atiku. He was not any of those great names and wonderful names. We just wanted to see somebody out of nothing emerge. Are you with me? We like when people manifest. We like it. You know the problem? People are likely to rejoice when somebody far away from them begins to manifest. But once it's their friend, envy will come in. Not knowing that if God is in your neighborhood, then he's coming for you too. Are you with me? I remember that day as they announced everywhere else blow. Some people now took it too far. Somebody called me. Is God still in Nigeria? I said, hi. God in my house. I don't know what you are thinking. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. We like to see people manifest. We like to see it. Praise God. Look at Luke chapter 1 from verse 80. Luke chapter 1 from verse 80. The Bible says, and the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. Are you with me? He was in the desert until the day of his showing unto Israel. So there was a day of showing. Are you with me? Number three, to manifest is to exhale everything God has inhaled in you. I'm saying the same thing with different words. Are you following me? To exhale everything that God has put inside of you. You know, Miles Moreau of blessed memory once said, he said, the richest place on the earth is not the oil fields in Nigeria or in Venezuela or in Congo or in Angola. The richest place is not the Federal Reserve of the United States. The richest place is not the gold reserve. He said the richest place in the world is in the mortuary. You have heard that statement before, right? It's in the mortuary. You know why he said that? He said in the mortuary, we have many books that were never written. We have many companies that never started. We have many destinies that never manifested. Please, are you with me? When a man is manifesting his destiny, it is so loud that you cannot deny. It is visible to the blind, audible to the deaf. Praise the Lord. It is so. When you come into, let me tell you something, you know people that are manifesting, you know them. When you come into their midst, it is so clear that this one's light is shining so much. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5 from verse 13 to 17. Please, can you read? 1, 2, 3, go. Read on. It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and they give a light to all that are in the house. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Glory. Let your light so shine. I pray for you. Your light will so shine. Oh. Your light will so shine, oh. Men will see your good works and glorify your Father. In the name of Jesus. Just assume you are a gari seller here. You sell gari. And all of a sudden, from just selling gari, you know, I actually know somebody like that. She was selling gari, and she used gari to train her son in school. And the boy read engineering. And when he was done, he came back and said, you know what? I want to transform my mother's gari business from the market. So do you know what he started doing? From, instead of selling one module, two module, one bag, two bag, he said, I'm going to go big. He rented a different shop, repackaged everything, told the mother, you will still be in charge of the business, but just allow me. Give me space. And then he started going to big fast foods in the country, wrote the list of all the fast foods in Nigeria. State to state, he was going to them and began to supply them 10 bags, 20 bags, 40 bags. Are you hearing what I'm saying? After that, it was not enough. He went abroad, called some of his friends. He said, I know Nigerians stay in Canada. I know they stay in the Europe. I know they stay in the UK. I know they stay in wherever. So he made a network of almost 50 countries and started supplying gari. In 2 years, market woman became Mama Gari. See, this guy became so big on this thing. The next time we're talking, he was going to speak at a major entrepreneurship conference in this country to talk about gari. When you see the entourage with his cars and police following, you don't know it's a gari seller they are following. See, when a person is manifesting, it can be anything. Are you with me? It can be anything. It can be anything. Anything. Recently, I was reading about the person that, the billionaire behind Bic. Who knows? Who remembers Bic? Biro Bic. You are still, somebody is still using Bic. I thought it had disappeared. The person that owns this company is a billionaire. Or if you reach the factory, the Bic factory, my God. Praise the Lord. Say after me, destiny. Say after me, manifest. I will manifest destiny. No matter the field. No matter the field. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm trying to put something within you. Oh. See, why do people live there and die without manifesting anything significant? Why? Number one reason is because even the burden to take things like this serious, they are forgotten about it. All they are thinking about is what I can eat, what I can wear, how I will survive, how I will buy data, who will give me urgent 2K. Please, I want to sub. Are you with me? The present things of their life has so distracted them, they don't see beyond where they are. You see, the first reason, like I said, is they've lost the burden to manifest. And so, there is something called short-term burdens and long-term burdens. Now, short-term burdens have to do with your day-to-day life. Your car, rent, clothes, food. Please, are you with me? Short-term burdens are things like that. And sometimes, their short-term burdens can distract you to the point where you no longer think about long-term burdens. What are long-term burdens? Long-term burdens have to do with things that regard to your destiny, God's plan for your life, and being a major player in affecting another generation. Do you understand me to this point? I know that concept like this may sound a little deep, but just follow me. Please, are you with me? So I said long-term burdens have to do with manifesting your destiny, God's plan for your life, and being a player in the things, a major player in the things that affect a generation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Please, I want to beg you. As you rise in life, don't quench your long-term burdens. Are you with me? Don't quench your long-term burdens, because you see, maybe you have quenched it, but everybody, as they rise in life, God places a burden on them to manifest a destiny that he has placed inside of them. Let me explain. So some of you are here, but deep in your mind, you know that there is a businessman inside of you. You don't have a business right now. Things do not seem to be working that way, but you know within you that somehow there is a businessman inside of you. Some of you, you know that there is a musician inside of you. You cannot explain how. You don't know how it's going to happen, but you know that one day you are supposed to sing and the whole world will listen to you. Am I talking to you? Some of you, you know that there is a clothing line inside of you. You know it. You know it. You know some people, eh? In fact, one of the ways, I know I talked about discovering your assignment some Sundays ago. One of the ways you know, look at the things that bothers you the most. Everybody's in service. You just see another person. Why is that sister dressing like this? The tailor did a bad job. Praise and worship is going on. The lady is angry. Why did they put the slit there? Which kind of slit be that? So you'd have sewn it like this now. Everybody's thinking about that thing. This one. That thing has overwhelmed her mind. You know, some people, the burden God has put on them, they are so angry they want to put the burden on everybody. This country, the leaders of this country, all they want to do is let every church close down and let everybody go and fight the government. Whereas it's their own calling. You know? Are you with me? It's their own calling. It's within them. You don't care. As long as you are surviving, it's fine. Then they're like, how would they make a policy like that? Every day they are looking at the news. No, this country, something has to be done. The way Nigeria is going, some other people say, as long as my fashion design business is fine, anything I want to be doing, let them be doing. There is a burden God has put inside of you to manifest something. Some of you, there is a mighty politician inside of you. I know people don't like that word politician, but I will pastor politicians. Amen? Uh-huh. Okay, let me put it like this. They are ambassadors inside of you. They like that one, like that one. They are governmental personalities inside of you, right? It's there. That burden is there. And let me tell you something. On any field of endeavor, the two people that have burdens, their approach will be different. For instance, the person that has a burden for medicine and the person that is just doing medicine because daddy said so, they will be different. Yes, sir. Oh my God, they will be different. You know, those days in the university, we used to have one guy. Maybe if he watches this video or this message, he will laugh. You know, there are people that they read engineering because their father forced them or their parents forced them. There are people that they are called to be engineers. Jennifer can remember this person. You know Folari Nabi? My God. People are tired of the lecture. People want to go home. He said, sir, I have a question. Actually, when you read this concept from this order, the guy will start talking. Only him and the lecturer will know what they are talking about. Every other person is lost, confused. They are talking. They will start. After a while, the man will say, you know what? Come and see me. You don't understand. People are reading mechanics and electrical circuits. They are trying to understand the circuits. You go and meet him. Don't go and meet him. You feel bad for your life. You feel like your life is a waste. Because you meet him, you're like, oh, he's not ready for exam. He has finished the textbook. You don't understand. He has finished the textbook. When you ask what are you doing, I say, I'm just doing personal research. Eh? You never finished it for exam. Personal research. Personal research. When we were graduating, I asked him, so what's the plan? He said, I think I want to go further and become a professor. I said, then when you ask him why, he said, you see, we can improve the world. We can. You know that this person, he's wired for this thing. He's responding to a burden inside. But you see somebody who God has made a businessman. His own is, he knows that he used to go to Alaba market and start import and export. You're also there to still trying to compete with that person. You will not match up now. I pray for you. The long-term burdens God has put inside of you, you will not quench it. The long-term burdens God has put inside of you, you will not quench it. Some of you have done a business. It failed, though, but within you, you know, this is my call. I'm supposed to do this thing. You did it the first time, it failed, but you feel like doing it again. You're like, no, this thing is for me. This one is my own. Sometimes you can have this burden within you, but it's as if it's locked up within you, waiting for a day where it will have expression. It's as if you are locked up. You are somewhere, but you feel like you are trapped. Physically, you walk around, but within you, you feel like, I'm not yet expressing myself. I'm not yet there. I want to ask a question. Who knows what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. Some of you, there is a minister of the gospel inside of you. See how they are quiet. Feel like run. The one that God has called, you answer that call. Amen. And I want to tell you something. You see, that body is the raw material for destiny. That body is the raw material. If you lose that body, the drive is over. I'm not just talking about being ambitious. Being ambitious is important. But many times, ambition that does not come from a burden that way. When you finally get all the money and everything, you are still not fulfilled. But when there is a burden, you literally saw a dream that God put inside your heart. God put a dream within your spirit. And you grew to see that dream manifest. See, there is nothing more beautiful than that. When a person is manifesting, it looks almost magical. It's like, it looks like, wow. So something like this can come to pass. I pray for you. You will fulfill your destiny. Amen. The burden within you is the raw material for destiny. So there are two reasons, like I said, why people don't manifest their destiny. Number one, they ignore the long-term burdens. Number two, they don't respond to what I can call the protocol of manifestation. Say after me, the protocol. The protocol of manifestation. There is a way a man's life must be if he's going to manifest. Don't miss me here. There is a way a man's life must be if he's going to manifest. There is a way a man's life must be if he's going to manifest. And I've broken this down into three levels. And each of them starts with the letter P. The first one is what I can call the protocol of right positioning. Say after me, right positioning. Simple things like, if they ask you, what are you going to spend the remaining part of your life doing? Can you say? Because if you are going to manifest, it has to be in a particular area that God has planted you. Are you going to be in fashion? Are you going to be in catering? Are you going to be in politics? Are you going to be in automobiles? Where has God planted you to manifest? You know, some people today, they are in crypto. Tomorrow, they are in telecoms. Next tomorrow, agriculture is what is moving. 3 months after, no, I think I need to go into inverter business. Inverter is selling. They have not found their mainstay. Are you with me? Yes, then after 20 years, they've tried 100 things. Do you think they will be on the same level with somebody who has been doing inverter business for 20 years? That one that have become a giant in the field. You must have found the right place where God wants you to begin to build your foundations on, the right positioning. That's why if you study developed countries, even in an industry, people have different specializations. For instance, when you hear Hewlett Packard, what comes to your mind? Laptop. Right? Have you ever seen Microsoft laptop? How popular is it? Ah, God, I hope I'm not confusing this our people. When you hear Microsoft, it is software. When you hear HP, it is hardware. It's the same industry, but people have found their niche. They found their niche. Can you see you have found your niche? Can you see you have found where you ought to be? If it is fashion design, stay there. If God has planted you there, you stay there. You find your niche. You build on it. Are you with me? One of our pastors, she had a first class in electrical engineering. I won't blow her because she's in a Lagos church. First class in electrical engineering. I mentored her personally for 10 years. So she knows the person knows herself. But one day, she called me and said, "Pastor, I think I have a thing for finance." I said, "Prove it to me." She began to talk. When she explained everything, I was like, "Ah, truly, you have no business with electrical engineering. Even though you have a first class there, see what you do for me. Pack your bags, and you are going to switch lanes. From electrical engineering, you are going to switch to finance." She has done CFA. She has done ICANN. She has done... That's you have found your place. Are you with me? And you are beginning to build on that lane. For instance, like me, even in the dream, I'm a pastor. If I ever appear in your dream, I'll be praying for you. Check. My God. I was an engineer on the oil field one time. Somebody was going through something. I didn't tell the person anything. No. I didn't try to preach to him. We were just sitting in the other room. He just looked at me. He was my boss. Engineer Vincent, if he's hearing me, he will laugh now. He just looked at me and said, "See, you are a man of God. Please pray for me." I said, "Sir, how do you know?" He said, "I just know. You cannot hide it. You are a man of God. Please pray for me." Are you with me? Have you found the right positioning? That's in terms of your assignment. Sometimes, positioning can even refer to things like the right place. Some of you, God may have to remove you from a certain place that you are based. Move you to somewhere else so that your destiny can come out. Some of you, the schools you attended, the place you grew up, God arranged it intentionally to position you where you will meet something that will launch you into destiny. I am telling you. Some of you, you are in this church right now because God arranged it. Are you with me? God can tell Abraham, "Get thee out of thy father's house, out of thy kindred, unto a land that I will show you." Praise the Lord. Sometimes, even your social positioning. In fact, let me tell you something. As a rule, in your life, make sure that if God has set you on a path, at least you have 4 people that are your friends that are on the same path. How can you? You are trying to build a business. God has given you an idea to build maybe a factory, and all your friends are interested in football. When you are going to meet your clients, they are telling you are going for practice. They are all plaiting their hair like footballers. You know, there's nothing wrong with plaiting hair. You know if you plait your hair and go and meet a client, they will call you a Yahoo boy. Are you with me? But if a footballer is plaiting his hair, it may even be the reason why they will accept him. Please, are you following me? The right positioning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Number 2, the protocol of preparation. The protocol of preparation. Luke chapter 1 from verse 80. Luke chapter 1 from verse 80. The Bible says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel." So now, after you found your assignment and you've set up the right coordinates in your destiny. See, obviously, this teaching is not exhaustive. There are more things I want to say, but I'm already out of time. You see, the first protocol we talked about, positioning. There are so many things. So many things. Things like the right character. Please, are you with me? Things like the way you handle relationships. And we've done those teachings before. Things like the way you just handle, the way you handle your relationship with people, the way you handle finances, the way you know, there is a way a person's makeup, there's a way a person has built himself, you know, he's ready for manifestation. And then, when you are ready in that way, all the circumstances, all the factors that will make for those things to play will begin to fall in place. Let me ask a question. How many people are here and you have read at least 5 biographies in the direction of your destiny. Let me see your hand. Five. Wow. Put the hand down. Five. For instance, if you want to go into music, have you read about musicians? What they do? Global musicians. The way they rehearse. Have you read about those things? How positioned are you? If you check most of the people in politics, by the time you begin to talk to them, you will discover that as they grew, some things happened that brought them into those circles. Now, you may have your reservations. Some of them may have things that you don't agree with. But by the time you begin to talk to them, you begin to discover that even from childhood, some of them, their friends, their uncles, one thing led to the other that brought them into that circle and they took advantage of it. If you look at your circle currently, can you see what God is trying to paint around you, even in a small way? Can you see it? Lord, your people understand in Jesus' name. Okay, let me make it easier. Have you discovered that the children of doctors are usually doctors? Have you not noticed that if the father and mother were into medicine, they will have at least one child that will also read medicine? Have you not noticed? Yes, sir. Why is it like that? Positioning. That influence will begin to affect them. Somehow, they now begin to see a destiny within what their parents did. And some people may say, okay, pastor, but my parents were, I couldn't really find anything. That's why you have to be vigilant. God may now carry you out of that scenario and bring you somewhere to begin to paint a new picture for you. Please, I hope what I'm sharing is not too deep. You know, teaching things like this are not so easy. It's very easy for me to just come and just shout, amen, receive. And if you don't do some things, if you don't begin to do some things, 10 years will come and go. Nothing will happen. That will not be your portion, no. Some of you are into fabrics. One thing will always happen. You always, somehow, when they are bringing new fabrics, you always know. You are always around the people that are into those things, You always know somebody somewhere. Are you with me? You are always around things that have to do with fabrics. God may be telling you something. You know, I discovered that people that are into drugs, like cocaine and all that, if you bring them to a new city, give them 1 week, they will know all the drug. They will just, how do they connect? You know what I'm talking about, right? Before you know, they've met, like, how you just met? Say, we just meet, though. They know themselves as they just see. Say, ganja. Ganja. Praise the Lord. Number two, preparation. So when you found the place that God wants you to be based, the next thing is to begin to prepare. Look at John. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1 from verse 80, and the child grew. He waxed strong in the spirit, but was not yet ready to manifest. They took him to wilderness first. He was in the wilderness to cook, to prepare. How much have you prepared in the line that God has planted you? In the pathway he has put you on, how much have you prepared? I once had a producer. You know, I sing and I produce songs. I sing and happy people that produce for me. I had a producer. My God. His father and mother were into music. I'm not just the people that sing. I mean people that sing with staff. Music sheets. His parents were into music that way. When he started playing the keyboard, they started playing at the age of 5. By the time he was 20, you can line him down. Play something, he will tell you the key is F. I'm telling you. His ear has been so trained. We used to call him Dummy Chords. From there, we started calling him the coordinator. The king of keys and lord of chords. He had so prepared. Every time we are playing music, we don't like playing it around him because anytime you put a song around him, he's angry. He said, why would the bass play that? That string was not tuned. If you sit him down here, he will tell you, you can be playing a song somewhere. He said, the person that played that bass, the string was not tuned. He can turn it about 360 degrees to be stronger. Ah, well done, sir. It's called preparation. Are you with me? Even the people you admire, you know, sometimes people don't even know the gap between where they are and the people that they admire. You just think it's just luck. Even that word luck, L-U-C-K, it is living and laboring under correct knowledge. There was a point in my life I was so fascinated about all the tech gurus. So I began to study about them. Michael Dell, Howard Packard, Bill Gates, all of them. I began to read about them. All of them, they began their preparation from the age of 11. 11, 12, they were already coding, playing with those things. 13, 14, they were already writing long codes. Come this side. And again, an 11-year-old has already learned how to shout up NEPA. Then the ones that are NEPO babies. Who knows? Please, are you lost? You know what NEPO babies are, right? My dad is a billionaire. Hey. 11, what is he doing? The ones that don't have sense, they are playing game. PS5. The game you are playing was made by somebody of your age. Many of them began their preparation early. They started early. One of the most important things in your life, start early. Know your path early and start it. Know your path. All that time, teenagers are asking, what's the right time to date? What's the right time to date a girl? What's the right time to date? That time is when you should have found where you ought to be and begin to prepare. Begin to prepare. Begin to put energy. Begin to learn. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Preparation. Look at Jesus. The Bible says, Jesus was 12 years old when he was discussing with the doctors and teachers of the law. He was 12. And after 12 years old, we did not hear about him again until he was 30. So for 18 years, what was he doing? What was he doing for 18 years? He was preparing. He prepared so much that, let me tell you something. For the mother of Jesus to tell Jesus, their wine has finished. Go and do something. That means he has done something in the house. Oh, my God. The mother don't see something. He said, see, Jesus, their wine has finished. Go and do something. He now said, woman, my time has not come. Meaning, I am waiting. He had prepared so much that the mother said, don't mind him. Don't listen to him. Let him do something. Tell him. Hold him. He will do something. That means maybe in the house, one day, they came and met and said, there's nothing to eat. Bread has finished. He said, don't worry, I'm coming. And say, there's breakfast. Say, where did you buy the bread from? I told you I'm coming now. Why are you asking me? See bread. It's not bread you want. Then they tell him that, we eat bread and wine. He said, I'm coming too. Bring your cups, put water inside. Thank God none of us were chosen to be Jesus. Because business don't set. The Lord's bottling company. Wine from heaven. Water to Wine International. And sons. Ekene Dinichuku and Sons Bottling Company. Pastor Ekene is shouting. I hear the worst part. When you now arrange the goods, you say, I am the Lord Jesus. It will sell, move. When you see the goods, say, I cannot explain. You know, the Bible says that his fame went round and men were just drawn to him. That's a, I just want to buy this bread. I just want to buy this bread. Maybe I am prophesying. Some of you will own bakeries. Amen. I thought I would hear a louder amen. Amen. And the hand of God will come upon it. Amen. You will have industries. Amen. And the hand of God will come upon it. Amen. That you will have compelling sales. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Maybe you have a business and you are struggling with clients. Receive compelling sales.
Amen.
In this week, receive compelling sales.
Amen.
Receive commanded clients.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Glory.
Glory.
Preparation. Don't joke with it, though. Prepare. Read everything you can read about that thing. Prepare, prepare, prepare. Now that you are not known, prepare. Every day, think, how can I make this thing better? How can I make this thing stronger? Praise the Lord. How can I make this thing sharper? How can I bring you to the point of manifestation? How can I bring you to the point where if anybody just crosses my path, they'll be like, ah, I came across something. I came across something. You know I'm teaching this. This is how to raise a people where greatness is normal. So as you wake up in the morning, what are you working on? What are you preparing? For instance, I'm not surprised I'm in ministry. I'm not. By the age of 12, like Jesus, I was casting out devils. I've cast out devils to the point where sometimes people don't need to tell me. I will look at you twice. I know. There's something. Praise the Lord. And God knows my heart. I'm not saying that to brag and all of that. It's just what it is. And finally, the protocol of the push. Say after me, the push. Luke chapter 12 from verse 50. Jesus says, but I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straightened till it be accomplished? I have a baptism, meaning I have something that I was sent here for. How am I under pressure until it is accomplished? People think that because he was Jesus, he was not going to face pressure. He faced pressure. How am I straightened until it is accomplished? You know, this is the point where many people will give up. God has positioned them on the earth for something they have been preparing for years. Are you with me? And then they got to a point where it seems like nothing was working. Maybe your parents were tailors or were fashion designers. You got into that same line. And for long, you learned how to do this stuff. You now began to produce stuff. And with all your expertise, with all your knowledge, with all your skill, with all your wisdom, you've mastered the craft. You know the stuff very well, but it's not selling the way it's supposed to sell. You look at people who seem to know less than you, and you're like, I can outdo this person. But the person seems to go, who knows what I'm talking about? Are you with me? You look at your mates, as it were, people who, some of them, they're even less than you. It seems like they are doing better. First of all, let me say this. When it seems like people who know less than you are doing better than you, don't fall into the trap of envy. Are you with me? Don't fall into the trap. Tell your neighbor, don't fall into the trap of envy. You can draw your ear like this. When you see someone, tell your neighbor, when you see someone doing better than you, don't fall into the trap of envy. Also, don't try to explain it away. Don't say, I don't even know what they are using. What are they using? Self. Don't be like that man that spoke to Elisha and said, see, even if the windows of heaven are opened, how will this thing happen? And Elisha told him, you will see it, but you will not partake of it. When you begin to see God move, don't speak against it, or else you will see it more, but you will not partake of it. Instead, you have to tell yourself, I will push in my own line. I will push. I will not give up. I will push. After you have found your path, after you have been properly positioned, after you have prepared and you are still preparing, all that is left now is to push. Are you with me? All that is left is to push. Sometimes, God has designed some people's own will happen faster than others. It's just life. Are you getting me? Some people had a head start that you did not have. Some people got help that you did not get. So just push. Tell your neighbor, push.
You know, Donald Trump was talking recently, the president of the United States, and said something that made me laugh. He said, you know, when I started, I did not have anything. All I had was the $1 million my father gave to me. And he was saying it as a real grass to grace story. Like, I did not have anything. I was broke. I was begging. All I had in my pocket was $1 million. $1 million? Yeah? And you are comparing yourself with you that started from zero. Don't let motivational speakers kill you. Just push. Sometimes you can be overwhelmed. You are doing everything. You are trying your best. It's not working. And you are overwhelmed. I have news for you. Even Jesus was overwhelmed too. Let me read something to you. John 12 verse 27. It says, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. There are some times in your life where you feel like you should just run away. But you know, if you run away, you are coming back here. Are you with me? Where will you run to? You know that this is your destiny. Are you going to run away from it? He says, what shall I say? My soul is troubled. Save me from this hour, but you can't save me. I know I was born for this hour. There are some times like that. And then you have to tell yourself, I will push. Are you with me? You tell yourself, I will push. Can you say after me, I will push? Oh. Sometimes you have to push in the place of prayer. Sometimes you have to push in the place of reading. Go back, start reading again. Start preparing again. Pretend like you never learned all the things you learned and start learning afresh. Are you with me? But you will tell yourself, I will master this thing. I will become all that I said I will become on this thing. I will push. And on a lighter note, see, there will be times in your life that you have no other option than to push. I believe there are some students here, right? Don't let the way a course is feeling make you tell yourself, I don't like that course. I'm not going to read. You may like it, though. You must like it. You came for this hour. You cannot be saved from this hour. I had to just strip it in because I know there are students here. There was a time, I have shared that story here before, 500 level, second semester. I know if I fail this course, extra year is coming. And the extra year is not first semester. Second semester, the next year, I will come back and write this course. I said, we die here. It's either I know the book or the book knows me. There must be a knowing today. You don't understand. Have you seen those courses that the more you look, the less you see? You can relate now. Final year mechanical engineering, rockets and propulsive systems. There is no particular formula for any scenario. The scenario determines the formula. You will make up the formula for how to solve it. They will tell you that when the plane is going like this, that's when you now know you should use this one. All the things you've learned in physics from the day where you started physics in secondary school, see, that's when you will apply it. So I went to pray. I said, God, you know that verse in the Bible, turn the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness. I say, God, you know what is before us. We are all dead men. We are all going to fail. God, do one thing for me. Every example that this man put in the notes, let him repeat the same example, word for word, in the exam. And God answered my prayer. The man came and announced, you should study your examples, oh. I said, that's my cue. God answered my prayer. Brethren, I kid you not. I read for that course for 20 hours. I was in one spot cramming all the examples. It's more than 10 years ago, so. I crammed all the examples and got into the exam hall and God did it. You understand? When you write answer before question, okay, this one, the answer is 46.2 grams. So you solve from answer to question. I said, hey, so you put G here, you put like this. I had A. Clean A like this. Ask me one thing. One thing. But that was how I jumped and passed. Yeah? There will be times in your life where it is not comfortable, but you must do it. You must do it. You must do it. You don't understand? See, if you have not learned to be under pressure, you cannot produce anything strong. It is pressure that turns raw metals to jewelries. When they put it under the heat of fire, pressure. You will learn to put yourself under pressure. Tell your neighbor, learn to push. Praise the Lord. You will learn to tell yourself, I will not give up. John chapter 16, verse 21. It says, a woman, when she is in travail, had sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. Glory! Just sometimes in your life, you will tell yourself, I will despise the pain. Just like the way a pregnant woman is in the favor room or the delivery room, in Jesus' name. Not labor room. In Jesus' name. They will tell her, push! You know, children are conceived in the ecstasy of lovemaking. If you know, you know. But they are delivered in the pressure of pushing. In the same way, visions are conceived in places of ecstasy. God is showing you things about the future. You can see yourself doing this. It is so beautiful. But when it's time to bet it, you will be feeling so much pain, but bet it. Isaiah 66, from verse 3, as soon as Zion traveled, she brought forth her children. And you will travel spiritually, you will travel mentally, you will travel, are you with me? You will tell yourself, I will push. I will see this thing come to pass. This business will not fail. Are you with me? This idea God has given me will not fail. It will come to pass. I will see it. I thought somebody will say, I will see it. At some point, people say, you know what? I'm not doing it again. I'm not. That's where people give up. But I pray for you. You have the strength to push. You have the strength to push. So what is the protocol of manifesting destiny? Number one, positioning, right? Number two, preparation. And number three, the protocol of the push. And that's why I was leading you to sing that song. There is prophecy over me. I cannot give up now. Jump on your feet. Say after me, in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, I receive strength. I receive grace to follow the protocol of destiny. I am divinely positioned. I prepare adequately. And I push at the right time. Begin to pray right now. Talk to the Lord.